First Kings, chapter 12, verses 28 and following. Hear God's word. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there and went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now the kingdom will turn back to the house of David if the people go up to offer sacrifices in the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then the heart of the people will turn again to their Lord Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah." So the king took counsel and made two calves of gold. And he said to the people, "You have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." And he set one in Bethel and put the other in Dan. Then this thing became a sin, for the people went as far as Dan to be before one. He also made temples on the high places and appointed priests from among all the people who were not the Levites. And Jeroboam appointed a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and he offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places that he made. He went up to the altar that he made in Bethel on the 15th day in the 8th month, in the month that he had devised in his own heart. And he instituted a feast for the people of Israel and went up to the altar to make offerings. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this, your word, and as we have opportunity to look at it this evening, we pray that you would teach us from it that there are those who desire us to worship mere men and turn away from Christ. And we pray, Father, that as you open your word to our hearts, that we might see that we need to beware of the worship of mere men and being led by the spirit of Antichrist, and that we need, each one of us, to pursue Jesus Christ. So bless us to this end as we have opportunity to look into this, your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York introduced Pope Francis to a gathering in Madison Square Garden on Friday. And he did so using words to this effect. Speaking to the Pope, he said, "Holy Father." I don't know if you heard the words that were uttered in prayer by our elder. He began with those same two words, did he not, with reference to God, Holy Father. Cardinal Dolan, speaking to Pope Francis, said, "Holy Father, we pray with you every day and in you every day. We celebrate the Mass with you and in you every day. And now you are here with us." And the crowd at Madison Square Garden erupted in shouts and applause and were giving Pope Francis a standing ovation. Yesterday, the cardinal who hosted Pope Francis in Philadelphia and welcomed him said to the Pope, "Holy Father, if we could, we would rename our city Francisville." And the church erupted in applause. Very often, the praise of men is cloaked in religion. And in our text tonight, Jeroboam is seeking individuals to follow him. And in his seeking of the people to follow him, he cloaks what he is doing in religion. And I submit to you, friends, that following men is imbibing in the spirit of Antichrist. And the message tonight is a warning. Beware of the spirit of Antichrist. Rather, with all your hearts, pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. In our text, we meet Jeroboam, the king of Israel. Look at verse 25. Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there, and he went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now the kingdom will turn back to the house of David if this people go up to offer sacrifices in the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then the heart of the people will turn again to their Lord, to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam." No! Jeroboam was saying, the people must follow me! And that was his emphasis. You see, the circumstance was this, that the nation of Israel was now divided. The southern kingdom, Judah, and the northern kingdom, Israel. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, was the king of Judah. And he was not a kind king. He didn't use the wisdom that his father Solomon had. And he laid heavy burdens on the people of Israel, both north and south. He laid heavy taxes on the people and demanded that the treasury, his treasury, be filled. The people of the northern kingdom rebelled. And in God's providence, Jeroboam became their king. And now Jeroboam is anxious for the people of the northern kingdom to be steadfast and faithful to him. He wants the people to follow him. And in his desire for the people to follow him, he cloaks what he does in religion. And so we ask the question then, what does Jeroboam do to get the people to follow him? Well, again, let's look at our text. This time, verse 28. So the king took counsel and made two calves of gold. And he said to the people, "You have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Words reminiscent of the scene at the foot of Mount Sinai, where Aaron listening to the people grumble because Moses had been so long up on Mount Sinai, consented to gathering all of their precious jewelry and molding a golden calf and pointing to the golden calf and saying, Israel, behold your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Behold your God, a creation of human hands? How repulsive! Double the sin for Jeroboam. Two golden calves. One was not enough. Two golden calves. Here is your Savior. Here is your God who delivered you from the hand of Pharaoh and brought you out of Egypt. You see, one of the ways in which individuals seek to cause you and me to follow them is to establish false gods. Who is the true Redeemer? Well, you and I ought not to need to labor on answering that question very long. Jesus Christ is the true Redeemer. Jesus Christ, the one to whom the deliverance from Egypt pointed in the Passover, when the blood of the Lamb was put over the doorpost. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the one who died and paid the penalty for your sins. And you and I must come to Jesus Christ. We must pursue Jesus Christ and not the spirit of Antichrist that's manifested in false gods. There are many false gods that are set before us in our culture and in our society. The false god of sex. Perhaps you've heard of the website Ashley Madison. It's a website. Well, it was a website to which individuals could go and arrange illicit, adulterous relationships. So eager were men and women to engage in such activity that thousands and tens of thousands signed up for this website. And since the website has been hacked and some of the addresses of individuals have been revealed, guess what? That thousands of people in our government were signed up on this website. Individuals in the State Department, individuals in the Defense Department, individuals in Homeland Security, individuals in the White House, serving false gods. And the effort is to get men and women to follow these false gods. Beware of the spirit of Antichrist. Pursue Jesus Christ, the God of money. Oh yeah, you must get an education. You must get a better education. You must get a better education so that you can get a better job. And you must be able to get a better job so that you can make more money. And so that you can buy a bigger house. And so that you can buy a bigger car. And so that you can impress those of the opposite sex. And so that you can wield power and influence with money. Money isn't bad. We all have to have money. You have to be able to go to the store and buy things and buy food and this sort of thing. But as Paul says, the love of money is the root of all evil. False gods. Do I dare bring up athletics? Some are shaking their heads. Do I dare bring up athletics? I took our Subaru to the Subaru dealer to get service. And when I got there, the fellow said, do you have a warranty agreement with us? I said, no, we just moved from Pittsburgh. Steeler country. I said, yeah, the Colts aren't doing so well, are they? Very quiet. Very quiet. But athletics draws the throngs and the athletes and their contracts, negotiating their contracts. Well, I think I deserve at least $15 million more a year for the services I'm going to perform for whatever team it is. The role models. The false gods. Beware of the spirit of Antichrist. What else does Jeroboam do in order to get people to follow him? He not only institutes false gods, but he institutes alternate places of worship. Verse 29, and he set one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. Then this thing became sin for the people went as far as Dan to be before one. You see, the idea was to establish these alternate places of worship so the people would not go up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in Judea. That was the southern kingdom. Now, look back up to verse 27. If the people go up to offer sacrifices in the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem, the place designated by God for the worship of the people was in Jerusalem, in the temple of Jerusalem, where he promised he would dwell, where his presence would be with the people. But Jeroboam, alternate places of worship. And did you catch it in verse 28? So the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said to the people, you have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Enough of that. Enough of that going to Jerusalem. You can go to Bethel. You can go to Dan. But the true place of worship was in Jerusalem. And he was turning the people away from the living God. He was turning the people away from the place where they would worship the living God, where God promised to be present, where God and His Word were present. Think about it now for a moment. What are we as God's people? What does the Bible teach you and me about us as we are gathered together? Paul says to the Corinthians, we are the temple of the living God. Think about that. We are the temple of the living God. Paul says to the church at Ephesus that you are being built up as a spiritual house, as a special dwelling place of God in the Spirit. If you want to pursue Christ, you should gather with God's people, because God has promised to meet with His people in His temple, and we are the temple of the living God. Peter says to those to whom he writes, "You are living stones being built up into a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God." Pursue Jesus Christ by being faithful in coming together with God's people to worship the Lord. He promises to meet here with us. That's His promise to you and to me. We don't need alternate places of worship. See, some would say, "Well, I can worship God perfectly well by going out on the golf course early on a Sunday morning and enjoying the beauty. I can go on a canoe trip or a kayak trip in the mountains and enjoy the beauty of God's creation." Yeah, you can. But you're setting up alternate places of worship rather than God's appointed place of worship. To say nothing of the halls of government that are often built as temples and shrines and inscribed with Scripture and carry the edifices of various biblical characters. And the false god of government calls us often to its halls. Jeroboam, once again. He not only established false gods and false places of worship or alternate places of worship, he also established an alternate priesthood. If you're going to go down this road, you might as well go full throttle, correct? Verse 31. He also made temples on the high places and appointed priests from among the people who were not the Levites. The Levites and the priests, well, the priests were the sons of Aaron, and they were appointed to carry out the daily sacrifices and the sacrifices on the special feast days. And the Levites were appointed among the people to assist the priests and to be teachers among God's people. They were the principal teachers and those who were to carry out the Word of God among the people and teach the Word of God to the people. But Jeroboam said, "Enough of that. I'm going to appoint my own priests. I'm going to ordain my own priests. God may not have said we should do this, but I'm going to ordain my own priests." It's a very curious thing in many respects that in our culture and in our society, we also have what we might characterize as an alternative priesthood. Okay, I might step on your toes a little bit here, hear me out on this. Ungodly educators put themselves in a position where they garb themselves as priests to be reckoned with. And anyone who stands up against them is standing up against an authority to which they ought to bow. And of course, one of the great teachings of the academics is evolution. Oh, don't give me this stuff that you believe in creation. Students, don't mention that. You mention that, you're not going to do well in my classes. I'm talking about ungodly education. I know there are Christians who are in the educational system. And I really do believe this, I think it's Christians who in the end hold together a system that otherwise would fall apart. But you see, you have to hew the line in many respects and follow the priesthood. And then there are ungodly individuals who are in science. Let me just pick on one thing. Global warming. Global warming. You wonder if some of these scientists have heard of the sun. And how God placed the sun in the heavens to rule. Laying that aside, did you realize that if you study meteorology and you want to get a job in a broadcast network as someone who does the weather, you can't get a job at the Weather Channel unless you hew the line on global warming. The priesthood rules. And too many tend to follow the party line and are drawn away from Christ. This is part of the difficulty. Alternate gods, alternate places of worship, an alternate priesthood. And what else does Jeroboam do? He institutes alternate holy days. Look at the text again. Verse 32. And Jeroboam appointed a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and he offered sacrifices on the altar. He did in Bethel, sacrificing to calves that he made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places that he had made, and he went up to the altar that he had made in Bethel on the 15th day in the 8th month, in the month that he had devised in his own heart, and he instituted a feast for the people of Israel and went up to the altar to make offerings, alternate holy days. The 8th month was not the month designated by God to be the special month of feasting in Israel. It was the 7th month that was designated by God to be the special month of feasting in Israel. And on the first day of the 7th month was the Feast of Trumpets. The trumpets were sounded and the people were reminded of their responsibilities to come and worship the Lord in the precincts of the temple. And on the 10th day of the 7th month was the Day of Atonement, the day in which the high priest put his hands on the scapegoat and confessed the sins of the people, and the scapegoat was led out into the wilderness, symbolizing the taking away of the sins of God's people, pointing to Jesus Christ, who actually did take away the sins of God's people. And the 15th day of the seventh month was the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles, where the people would remember their time in the wilderness. That was the month of feasting appointed by God. Jeroboam said, No. Not the month appointed by God, the month I have appointed. That's what he said. And he led the people away from the truth of God. Did I say that the word holiday comes from the Old English holy day? Holiday, holy day. And who is it that designates holidays in our country? It's a government function, is it not? Federal holidays. Well, we have federal holidays. We watch them on the calendar. We watch them. We can have a four-day week, weekend. Woo-hoo! Go to the lake. And we pay attention to those federal holidays appointed by men. The great holiday appointed by God is the Sabbath. In the Old Testament, the seventh day of the week, and in the New Testament, the first day of the week. The Sabbath day. That's the great holy day appointed by God. And those who desire us to worship them will draw us away from the Sabbath, God's holy day. The Bible says, this is in Leviticus, or in Exodus 31. The Bible says that if we observe the Sabbath, God will let us know that He is the one who sanctifies us. In other words, He will meet us on His day. That's His promise. And even in the church today, there are those who say, well, let's worship on Saturday night. That would be okay. It's not any difference. And if we worship on Saturday night, Sunday will be free. And we can do our own thing. And we can go to the Colts game. But it's setting aside God's word and following the spirit of Antichrist rather than pursuing Jesus Christ. Allow me to go back to the visit of the Pope. He was welcomed to the United States of America by the president in a ceremony on the south lawn of the White House. And some would say that Pope Francis came first of all and preeminently as a pastor. But when you review the welcoming ceremony on the south lawn of the White House, the Pope was welcomed as a dignitary from a foreign land, as the leader of a foreign land. And I say this is the case because if you listen to the tape, what you'll hear is an announcement that, first of all, the national anthem of the Holy See will be played, and then the national anthem of the United States of America. It's very striking. And the flag that was flown next to, on the other side of the platform from the American flag, was the flag of the Holy See, of Vatican City, the city-state of the Vatican. And on that flag are two keys. Makes you think of the keys of the kingdom. Two keys. One was a gold key representing religious authority, and the other is a silver key representing civil authority. And there he stood, receiving the adulations of the crowd as a civil leader in that ceremony. A mere man, like the rest of us, a mere man. One of the broadcasters at Fox said, "You don't have to be religious to grasp the grandeur and the importance of what's taking place here." Beware of the spirit of Antichrist and pursue Jesus Christ, the only Savior of men and women and young people and children. Pursue Jesus Christ in the place He designates, the assembly of God's people for worship, where you hear His word and the Spirit is present to open your heart, to draw you to the Father in heaven, the great Creator of all. Pursue Jesus Christ in the place of worship and in the times of worship He has been pleased to designate. And God's promise to you is that He will meet with you and encourage you and cause you to understand that He is indeed your God, and you are His people. Don't be sucked up by the spirit of Antichrist. Pursue Jesus Christ with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let's pray. Father, grant your grace in our lives. Meet us in our deepest needs and sin. Forgive us and cleanse us. Make us your own and cause us to follow you, our Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray in your name. Amen.